Hast thou heard him, seen him, known him? Is not thine a captured heart? We just heard some wonderful testimonies. The answer to that question for those two was yes. They'd seen him, they'd heard him, they know him. Their hearts are captured. And in a wonderful way, they've chosen the better part. It says, chief among 10,000 own him. Joyful choose the better part. And we're thankful that as we're able to witness this matter of baptism today, that it always brings us back to reflect on our own relationship with the Lord. I think it's far more than just sitting back as spectators. But this is a joining together with them and allowing the reality of what they're speaking of to be touching our hearts in a fresh way today. Like much of this Christian life, baptism, in one sense, it's a one-time event. But in many ways, we're living it out every day. And would the Lord make it very fresh in all of our hearts today? Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that we have this marvelous privilege today of seeing your life capturing, your life working out in two dear young ones. Lord, we're thankful they have chosen the better part. And Lord, today, as we would spend some time to just pause and reflect on this matter of baptism, we pray that your Spirit would refresh it to all of our hearts, Lord, that we could see the beauty of it. We could see more of the reality of it. We could see the awesomeness of it. We're thankful, Lord, that we are those that have been first loved by you. And in that, we want to respond to you with hearts of love today. In Jesus' name, amen. These last few weeks, we've been considering this matter, the foundation series of So Great a Salvation. And part, obviously, of that foundation series is this matter of baptism. And so we're thankful that we just don't have to speak about it in a theoretical sense. We're able to join together today and be participants in it. And we do want to reflect, Lord, upon what the Lord has spoken to us as he would share with us this matter. I'd like for us first to turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verses 3 to 5. And as we look at baptism today, we want to use this term, the testimony of baptism, because it really speaks volumes. There's a testimony associated with it. And so we're today considering this matter of the testimony of baptism. Again, these are familiar verses to many of us. And there's always a challenge when you read familiar verses. We skim over them or we think about some other thoughts until I finished reading them, and then you've come back. But let's turn our hearts to these verses and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in a fresh way, because the reality of what the Lord has done for us in these three verses is an eternal value that we continue to get further and further revelation on every day of our life. If anybody says they've got a grasp of these verses, I'd like to talk to you. Every time you see him, there's a richness here. And that's, isn't that the way it is in the Lord? I mean, you touch him, and you think you see him, and then you touch him again. There's more and more. And that's what we, so as we look at these verses, that's the spirit of what we're looking in today. Romans 6, starting in verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise God for that. As we consider this matter of the testimony of baptism, really we as God's people have a charge upon us to carry the testimony of Jesus. And praise God, that is a marvelous testimony of who Christ is. Within that, there's some other testimonies that we also share in. We just took the Lord's table. That's the testimony there. And a testimony is something that, it's something publicly that speaks of something far beyond what we just see in the visible. It's speaking of a spiritual reality. When we're speaking of the testimony of the Lord's table, the vastness of that, the spiritual reality speaks of His death, His burial, His resurrection, that hope of His return, the oneness of the body of Christ, the power of the blood of the Lamb, on and on. We see the many aspects that that table testifies of the reality that we've been brought into. We have the testimony of baptism today, which we'll be considering. We have the testimony of marriage, a beautiful way that God brings a man and a woman together to speak of His great love for the church, Him being the head, the wife, the body, far beyond, the world has so distorted it today. And we also, not quite as prominent, we have the testimony of a sister wearing a head covering. Various thoughts on that, but in my opinion, it testifies of God's divine order, of God being the head, and we're all under the covering of His precious headship. And He has a divine order that He wants us to live in. So we see through many physical things that we can see and partake of, it's far more than just having a little piece of bread and a little cup, far more than just getting wet in a tub, far more than just having something on our head or a ring on our finger. There's a spiritual reality, and this is what the Lord is really after this morning as we touch on this matter of the testimony of baptism. What is it really speaking of? Because this matter of the testimony of baptism is far more than a symbol. It's far more than just something that we follow out of ritual or tradition. It's far more than just, our Lord was baptized, therefore we should be baptized. Far more, the Scripture says we should be baptized, therefore we should do that. Some places, you have to be baptized in order to become a member. Actually, they've got it backwards there. You have to be a member in order to be baptized. You have to be a member in the body of Christ, then we can be baptized. Because baptism's a second step there. First thing is we have this the salvation that we've been brought into. And praise God that it speaks so much more of that. And, it's interesting to see, just from an outward point of view, you can tell things that are of real value to the Lord just by how much the world and the enemy hates it. When we think of this matter of the Lord's table, we see how it's been contested throughout years. You think of the matter of marriage, you see how it's so contested, so hated in the days we're living in. And even this matter of baptism throughout the history, the many that have been put to death over their belief in baptism shows the enemy's hatred. Even today, in a Muslim country, quite often ones can come to know the Lord, and in one sense, they can live kind of safe, hidden. But once they do that baptism, it speaks of something, and it's like that mark of death is upon their head. And that just shows us the intensity of how much the enemy hates it. And so that should even awaken our own hearts to know, wow, if it means that much to the enemy, how much does it mean to us? Sometimes we can take these things so carelessly in a way and don't really value them. But would we wake up and see the great value, far beyond traditions and rituals, but far the spiritual reality of all that the Lord is desiring to show us when we consider this matter of baptism today? As we look at this, I kind of approach it from what I call a fourfold aspect of the testimony. I think it's hard to say baptism just speaks of this one thing, because there's various aspects. There's in Ephesians, when the Lord is trying to describe His purpose, He describes the manifold witness, the manifold wisdom of God. And when we see the things of Christ, quite often there's a manifold wisdom associated with them. There's a multifaceted aspect of what goes on here. Baptism is multifaceted. The Lord's table, it speaks of, it's multifacets that we see of it. And so today, first, I think it's a testimony. When we make this declaration, it's a testimony of our new birth and our salvation. we're saying, as I said, something has preceded baptism. There's a point in time where one came to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. They repented and believed in the Lord. And because of that, they now have Christ in them. We see how, even in the Gospels, at the end of Matthew, the Lord says, go out and make disciples. And what's he saying? Make disciples and baptize. We see this relationship between salvation and baptism, and how when, as we come to it, the Lord is wanting us to respond. So when we're first saved, and when we're actually as part of discipling ones, when we lead ones to the Lord, it's not over then. There's an old worldly song, excuse me, but we've only just begun. And so we see how when we bring ones to the Lord, then there's this matter of bringing them into the reality of baptism and consecration and discipling and going on, walking together. That's what this step is. It's testifying, first of all, I've settled this issue. I am now a child of the living God, and I'm decided to follow him. So what is the qualification for baptism? And it's honestly just believing and being saved. But there's another aspect of this matter. We see that there's now a desire within the heart of one to follow Jesus. Not only just, it's tragic today the way we've watered down the gospel. We've just allowed people to become, know him as Savior. But there's really this aspect too of knowing him as Lord. In baptism, we're saying, I'm concluding the past. That's true. But now I want to follow him. He's Lord of my life. I don't want to go my own way. I'm choosing this way to go. This is the public testimony. And this is what these ones, we've already heard that today. I'm so thankful that we don't, as far as this matter of baptism, we don't have to wait till we become a better person. We don't have to wait until we do more works. We don't have to wait until we get a better understanding. You know, praise God. I know Josiah and Sarah are both thankful that they don't have to stand up and give a theological explanation on baptism. You know, it's like with salvation. When we're first saved, we don't know all the theology of it. Only thing we know was, I was blind and now I see. Praise God. And you're in the body of Christ. And now they're saying, I want to put the world behind me and I want to follow the Lord. And that's what they're doing. But as we go along, we see more and more of the reality of baptism. Most of us, if we reflect back upon our lives, we reflect back to the day we were baptized, we probably didn't have a whole lot of understanding of it. We might have had a little knowledge of what we read in the books and stuff like that, but what we see and know of it now is far more. I grew up... That's my own personal testimony. Was my father was a military chaplain, but he was a Presbyterian training. So I was sprinkled and christened as a child. And so for many years, all through my growing up, junior high, high school, military, everything, if anybody ever asked me if I was baptized, I said yes. I was sure. I was baptized. And we were... It was just never, my parents said I was baptized, and that's what it was. And so I was very comfortable with that. Then after we got married, Sel and I moved over here to Richmond, and we started going to Mount Vernon Baptist Church. And in order to be a member there, you had to be baptized according to their way. But I still touched. There was two brothers there. Because they realized I hadn't been baptized. There was two brothers there, Charles Klein and Ben Bradshaw. And they didn't beat it over my head. They just said, have you ever really looked in the scriptures and seen what baptism was about? And I said, no. My parents told me I was baptized. So they said, go look in the scriptures, see what it's about. And the more I started looking, I said, wow. This is for believers. I wasn't a believer when I was a baby. This is somebody who believes in the Lord. And so, Stella and I ended up getting baptized together. She grew up on the opposite end of the theological spectrum from the Presbyterian. She grew up in a Free Will Baptist, which you could lose your salvation. Stella had a rough life growing up. She lost her salvation a few times and had to get rebaptized. Love covers. I'm not going to go into any details. But finally, when she saw what baptism really, what it really was, so we were baptized together. And it was kind of cute because the pastor there was a brother named Tom Funderburk. Tom Funderburk came up to about my waist. He said, we get into the tub. He says, okay, now when you and Stella get in there, kneel down. So we got in a deal. He baptized. So anyway, but it's for believers, and it's wonderful. We all have our own testimonies of how the Lord made it real. Now, I do want to say, it's wonderful when young parents dedicate their children to the Lord. And I think we should. There's a way of giving your kids to the Lord. Not so much in a ritualistic ceremony, but committing our kids. But there comes a time in each young person's life where eventually your God has to become their God. And that's a prayer we have for all of our young people as they're growing up, that transaction would occur that day. And they could put the things of the world behind them and decide to follow the Lord. So, you know, we're thankful that this matter of baptism is this wonderful testimony of our new birth and salvation in Him. There's another aspect of this testimony, and it's the testimony of our identification with Christ. You know, as we read those verses in Romans 6, 3-5, look at those again. You know, we see within this, there's an identification here with His death, with His burial, with His resurrection. He has done it all. Because He's died, we can say we have died. As we're going into that water, that's symbol, that's speaking of death, that we have died. The past is behind us. It's concluded. You know, we've been buried with Him. And then we're brought up out of that water. There's a resurrection life. It's wonderful how we've been studying the Gospel of John. It speaks of I am the resurrection, but there's so much life in that gospel. We see the Lord's life being expressed so many wonderful ways. And that's the life we now have. We have not only, we have Christ in us. And it's a matter of faith that we stand into this. We might not understand it. You might not feel any different, all of that. But there's a truth that now we're in Christ. And we're thankful for all that he has done for us and all that he's continuing to do as he carries us through every day of our life. You know, the good shepherd that our brother opened with today, that shepherd, he never leaves us or forsakes us. You know, I was thinking about that even this morning as we took the Lord's table. Some were praying of the faithfulness, the goodness of the Lord's shepherd. And it's wonderful. Every Sunday we come and there's a cup, a loaf, and a table right there. We change a lot. Chairs around this room can change. We wear different clothes. Different ones are here or there. But that table is ever the same. There's that cup and that loaf. And there's a testimony of that aspect of our Lord in our life. He's ever the same. He's ever faithful. Even in a simple symbol like that, it speaks volumes to us of the faithfulness, the consistency, the steadfastness. And this is what we have that now that we're identified with Christ and we have Christ in us. You know, it's so wonderful that we have not only Christ in us, but we're in Christ. In Galatians 3:27, it says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourself or put on Christ." There's that being clothed with Him, just surrounded by Him, protected by Him, kept by Him in the power of His resurrection life, the greatness that we have in Him. And it's so encouraging that we know this and that we can be those that are encouraged and drawn unto Him in a fuller and a greater way. And we're thankful how that testimony of the new birth and that testimony of our identification with Him continues day by day to to hold us steady and to encourage us on in all that we would face in life. And the third aspect of this testimony is that we're a new creation. You know, praise God for that. That past is concluded. We're now walking in newness of life. We have His life. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Where there's that new creation that we're, as it, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, as he's encouraging these ones here, in many ways these verses are speaking, again, of the testimony of baptism. As we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, or settled it within our hearts. One died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, that they who live no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf." In verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Praise God for this newness of life. Praise God for the life we now have, that we're no longer living for ourselves, but we're living for Him. He's died for us. He's risen from the dead. He has that victory. And He is, as we make this declaration, and we often hear it during times of baptism, we're declaring that He is the Lord. And the world is behind us. And He is before us. And so what's occurring is actually not only a testimony, but a transaction. There's a transaction that's going on in the spiritual realm. That's where I am saying no to the things of the world, no to the past, and yes to Christ. There's a marvelous transaction that takes place in that. It takes place in hearts, it takes place in their lives, and we can hear it and we can join and be witnesses with it. So we're very thankful for these ones as they go through this time today. There's much going on. And we're thankful we can support them and stand with them in that. There's another aspect of this testimony. It gets beyond just ourselves. But the testimony of being part of the body of Christ. You know, praise God when we're born again. I mean, that is so rich. It's like, how much more could we have? We got His life within us. But praise God, when we're born again, we're born into the body of Christ. Look over at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we were all made to drink of that one Spirit." Praise God, when we were born again, we were all baptized into that body of Christ. We were born by the Spirit of the living God into that body of Christ. And we're no longer living for ourselves, but now we're also living within this body. He is the head. We're the body. And we have relationships with one another. You know, thankful for that. How, as we see this matter of baptism touching our hearts and lives, that it's just not an independent thing, but we become more and more conscious of how we're related to our brothers and sisters, and how we're called into service. It's interesting as you look throughout the Scriptures at this matter of baptism, as you look at Paul's life. I'm not going to touch anything on Lord's life, because Herb's going to share something about our Lord out at the time afterwards at the baptism, and I don't want to tread on Herb's territory because he's bigger than me. So. But if you look at Paul's life, after Paul was baptized, what did he do? He went out and he went into that public ministry. He started serving. You know, right there as he was in Damascus, he was starting to share the glorious gospel with those around him. He didn't wait. He started testifying of who Christ was. If you look at the early believers in Acts 2, verses 41, we see how they believed and they were baptized. And then immediately, what are they doing? They're living together, they're serving together, they're meeting together, they're gathering, they're caring for one another, they're going from house to house. It's that spontaneity of life. After baptism and we see the reality of being in the body of Christ, there's that call to be that active member within the body of Christ. When we're born again, we're a living stone. But just being a living stone isn't enough. We've got to be that a functioning living stone. We're not just living alone for ourselves, but we're those that are brought into relationship with one another. There's that serving one another. There's that serving in the house of God. There's that serving and testifying of Him to the world. There's being led by the Spirit of God under His headship of how does He, in His specific way, call each one of us into that service. We're thankful for that, again, the multifaceted way that, of service within the body of Christ. There's not a limited way of, I have to serve this or that. He puts us right where He wants us. He's placed us there, and He's called us simply to be faithful right where He's put us. This is what an aspect of baptism. There's this testimony. So we're thankful that as we look at this matter of baptism, we have that testimony of the new birth, and we have that testimony of identification, and that testimony of the new creation, and also being part of the body of Christ. There's a fullness here. There's a richness here. And I'm just touching upon it in a very kind of bird's eye view. It'd be good to go back and reflect upon it even more. There's a depth here. But today we didn't want to get into too much of a theological aspect, but just more of a testimony and an encouraging point of view of it. So we're thankful. But praise God, you know, when one is baptized, you know, what follows baptism? Yeah. I'm going to tread into Herb's territory a little bit. He can share it again too. But after our Lord Jesus was baptized, led in the wilderness and tempted. Yeah. After Paul was baptized, he was there in Damascus. He was sharing to God, but what happened? He became a threat on his life. They had to let him down over the wall in a basket to get him out. And it's just speaking to us of the battle that we need to be aware of the battle over this testimony. When one makes a public testimony that I'm decided to follow Jesus, praise God, we can take notice, but the enemy takes notice. And the enemy is going to try to come in and discourage those ones. And that's why we really need to be standing with them. That's why, you know, as ones are baptized, we're praying that they would know that fresh anointing and enabling of the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that can lead and guide and protect them. We're praying, too, that they would know of being kept by not only the prayers of a great high priest, but the prayers of the saints. We do pray for one another in these matters. We stand with one another because, particularly in this day and time where believing in our Lord Jesus Christ is so contested and so watered down, not so much by the world, but by the religious society that we find ourselves living in. We need to be those that are standing with one another. We've got a great opportunity today to be a living testimony of the oneness of the body of Christ as we witness what these two are going to go through, and then as we stand with them in the reality, testifying we're one with them, we're standing with them, we're supporting them in prayer. And we continue to support them in prayer. And we're thankful how, as the Lord has led them, we pray too that if others are considering baptism, the Lord would be touching their heart and could take this step. There are many, everybody probably has had their own little argument on why they didn't want to be baptized. But praise God, He is the answer, and He has the way for us to come through in that. So we do want to go ahead and close now and just ask the Lord to prepare the time out there. After I finish, we'll have a little break and then head on out to the baptism place so we can go ahead and be witnesses of that. Go, parents, go to the classes quickly and get your children so we can move on out. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that You've called us to be a witness of the reality of the work that You have first done. Lord, we're thankful for the lives of these two, how they have given themselves to You. They've come to know You. And they have this desire within their heart today, to this public testimony of desiring to follow you, Lord. We do come alongside them, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you'd be speaking to all of our hearts also of the richness of this reality, the encouragement of it, and that we too could walk in the faithfulness of what you're showing us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.